The book of Acts, chapter 16. Today, I actually, Waveling at the radio station had sent me a text and said, did you hear the program, Johnny and Friends, which is a short little program. We are on WYG. It's like a little 3 or 4 minute drop-in program. It's not long. I mean, you can miss it really easily. And I hadn't heard it, and so I went to their website to listen to the podcast of it, and they didn't have today's up yet, and I listened to yesterday's, and so it was all well timed for me to hear yesterday's message that she gave, and she talked about having a song through your suffering, having a song through your suffering. As you know, Johnny Erickson is in a wheelchair and has been for 40 years in a wheelchair. And in most of those years, she has had a ministry and has touched countless lives. And there's hardly anyone more inspiring to me than Johnny Erickson. When I hear her words, her messages, and read her books, they're all so powerful. Really powerful. She talked about having a song in your suffering. And she said that one people ask her, what do you do? You're in this wheelchair all the time. What do you do? And she said, much of the time when I'm alone, I sing. I sing songs. And she said, for example, I have a brace on that helps me to breathe. And she said as she's getting older, it's more difficult for her to breathe with the paralysis that she has. And she said, but that brace many times hurts her, and she has a lot of pain from it. And she said, I just sing through the pain, and the Lord ministers to me. And she gave some other examples of that, the possibility and the power of a song unto the Lord. And we all know that music is a gift from God that in the world has pretty much been perverted. It doesn't, you know, music that glorifies God is a wonderful thing, but it's also used as a tool of the enemy that sometimes even blasphemes God and dishonors the Lord. But for the Christian, for the believer, a song, everyone, you don't have to be a singer per se to have a song. You don't have to know all about music and, you know, be skilled as a musician or a singer to have a song. A song comes from the Lord. And it's, I looked up the term new song. And it's in the scripture about 17 or 18 times, the term new song. It just repeated over and over again. Many of them are from the psalmist David. And but there are in other places also in the scripture, a new song. So I looked up the word for new song, or the new word. And it just means something fresh. Something fresh. And so from that, I just concluded that God gives a song right for your particular situation that you're in. You say, well, I don't have a song. I don't know songs. I certainly don't know songs that glorify God. Well, you can go to the Psalms, and the Psalms are filled with songs. Amen. And the Lord can make that song a new song, or something fresh for you that applies to your situation and your circumstance, so that you can sing a new song. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 3, and we're going to get to Acts 16 here in a minute. He said, this is Psalm 40, verse 3, he hath put a new song, a fresh song, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The power of a fresh song that's from the Lord for your particular time and circumstance that you're in, that God uses to help you through a trial or a time of struggle or suffering, that song has power. It brings praise to your heart, and it causes you to be able to glorify God, and many see it, and they fear. They recognize the hand of God at work because you can sing through your trouble. You can sing unto the Lord and praise God right through your sickness or your suffering or your trouble or whatever you are going through. You can have a song in your heart. Now, music is really powerful. That's why that the world uses it. The world uses music, and it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. They use music, and much of it is to convey worldly ideas, worldly things, and a lot of singing songs about love, and they don't really know much about love at all. So the world has their own idea and their own concept, and it's very powerful, but songs really can come from the Lord. It originated from Him. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, and you can read about right in the lineage of Adam that there was a man by the name of Jubal, and this man was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ, the first recorded musician, the first person who was playing music and giving glory to God with a song and with music. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God, and it's something that God can use to glorify Him and to affect people. Just like the psalmist said, that those around you, when you sing praises, a new song unto the Lord, many shall see it and fear. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord whenever they see the manifestation of God's Spirit in your life through a song. It has the power to not only lift you up, strengthen you, edify you, but it also has the power to bring glory and honor to the Lord, and the power to speak to the hearts of those that don't know God and cause them to fear and to put their trust in the Lord. That's the power of a godly song, a song that brings glory and honor to the Lord. One of the ways that the psalmist David was prepared to be the leader that he became was because he was obedient to his father, to go out, subject himself to his father, to go out and take care of his father's herds. And he did that. And he was kind of, you know, obscure out there, he's kind of hidden away. But it's during that time that he becomes skilled to play on the harp. He becomes skilled. The Psalms, no doubt, most of them come out of that experience that he's back there taking care of his father's sheep. And God works in his life, moves in his life, empowers him. He draws nearer to the Lord. So when the lion comes against him and the bear comes against him, he's able to stand up in the name of the Lord and destroy those animals that came to destroy his father's sheep. It all was because of his walk with God and the presence of God that was with him. And on that day when he goes out against Goliath, still just a young boy, when he goes against Goliath, he recognizes that I am coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He recognized, I'm not going to win this battle against Goliath. It's going to be the Lord of hosts that's going to fight this battle and destroy my enemy. So I think that we can conclude that a really powerful thing in the life of David was a song. Amen. Songs. The Psalms that he sang. Well, remember when the Spirit of God had departed from King Saul, and he's so troubled and so dis- under the depression of the absence of the presence of God and an evil spirit that's coming up against him. And they advise him, you need to call for a skilled musician to come to play. And we know one. His name is David. And David then is invited in right into the palace of Saul. And he plays music to him and lifts up the Lord and no doubt sings the psalms that he's learned out there taking care of his father's sheep. And as he plays skillfully, something powerful happens. That evil spirit that come to afflict Saul, it leaves. And Saul's spirit is lifted up and he's encouraged and helped through the power of a song. Praise God. I think it's one of the most important reasons why that we start our church services with songs, because we've all had things going on through our day and our week. We all are distracted by things that are on our mind, your work, your daily responsibilities, your family, and all the things that you come to church with. And sometimes, in some cases, you're burdened down and you have a hard time getting your mind on the Lord. And when people start singing together songs that glorify God, and the Spirit of God begins to work and move in your life, then all of those cares of life can just go out the door. Amen. And it prepares us to hear from God. It prepares us to enter into the spirit of worship, to get our minds upon the Lord. Now in Acts 16, this is the story of Paul and Silas and some of his other traveling companions that are in Ephesus, and they come under great opposition for what they were doing. I won't go into all the details of what was going on, but they were messing up the business of the merchandisers and what they were trying to do. And so they called a meeting. The magistrates come together and said, these men being Jews, verse 20, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Isn't it interesting how that they can be filled with all kinds of demonic activity? And you read the whole account in Acts 16 and see what's going on there. And then someone that's a godly person begins to take a stand for what's right, and they're the troubler. They're the problem. That's what they're saying here anyway. They're teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, talking about Paul and Silas, ripped their clothes off, and commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who having received such a charge, basically the charge was, you're responsible for these men. You make sure they're locked up tight and that they do not see the light of day. Having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So they're in the deepest, furthest point inside of that prison where it's dark. There's no light there. It's probably the filthiest place in the prison. It's an awful place to be. And they're not only that, they have been beaten terribly. And now they're thrown into this worst, darkest, filthiest part of the prison. And their feet are put in stocks. And so they're in the most miserable predicament that you can imagine. All they had done is stand for what's right. All they had done is done good. And it says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, it's a remarkable thing. I mean, if things are going along and, you know, you got a little money in the bank and everything's going good and you're going around the house, putting up your Christmas decorations and you're singing little songs and you're just having a wonderful time. Well, that's nice. But that wasn't the experience that Paul and Silas had. They've been beaten half to death. They've been humiliated. They've been thrown into this filthy, deepest, darkest part of the jail, prison. Probably so dark they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. Probably couldn't see one another. I mean, it's just the most horrible experience. And then to make it even worse, they lock them up in stocks. And they've been beaten. Now they're humiliated. Now they're in stocks in a dark, deep, dark prison. And they're in the most uncomfortable position that you can imagine. And at the midnight hour, they pray. They cry out to God. That's what you do at the midnight hour. The midnight hour, for some of you and for many of us, we've had times throughout our Christian walk with the Lord, we've had times when we've gone through sadness, trials, terrible experiences, and loss of loved ones, and all kinds of horrible things that you've gone through. Many of you faced midnight hours, difficult times. What did they do? Two things. They prayed. They cried out to God. They cried out to the Lord, and they sang. They sang. They just start praising God at the top of their voice. They start singing unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. Their song was so loud at the midnight hour that all of those criminals and all of those that are locked up in that prison with them, they all heard it. I think that is included in the text for a good reason, to help us to understand that all of those people that were there, they needed to hear what was happening. They needed to hear a song at the midnight hour. Every one of these people were in a mess in their life and in a crisis, and they needed to hear, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. You see, whenever you begin to sing a song in spite of your suffering, in spite of your trial that you are in, when you sing a song of praise unto the Lord in spite of the things you're going through, it gets the attention of people. They take notice. They take notice that there's a joy in your life that has a source, that's a hidden source, and they can't figure it out. The world looks at you going through what you go through with a song of praise to God, and they can't figure it out, because they would be bitter, they would be angry, they would want to retaliate in their situation. But because you know the Lord, Paul and Silas had confidence in God. They prayed to the Lord, no doubt, cried out to God, "Lord, here we are in this prison. We don't know what to do, so we're just going to sing." Amen. And they sang, and all the prison was filled with those praises. You talk about power. There's such power that the Bible says that when they sang, the very next verse, verse 26, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed." When you sing through your suffering, there is power. There is power. There's first of all a witness to all of those that are around you, like it was in that prison cell. It is a witness and a testimony of the grace of God that's at work in your life. But it is also powerful. It is a supernatural thing whenever you can sing through your heartache and through your suffering and your trial, when you can sing praises unto the Lord. The world takes notice of that, and there's great power that comes as a result of that new song, that fresh song, that song that comes to you in your worst of circumstance, and God just gives you a song. Hallelujah. Have you ever had that happen before? The Lord just give you a song in the middle of your trouble or your sickness or whatever that you're going through. God gives you a song. Job 35 and 10. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? Psalm 42 and 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. There is a song of the night. Songs in the night. Talking about your spiritual night, your spiritual struggle, your spiritual suffering that you might be in. Charles Spurgeon said, any fool can sing in the day. Songs in the night come only from God. They are not in the power of men. Amen. When you're going through it and you've got a song, the world takes notice. You have a powerful witness. This witness was so powerful when they sang at the midnight hour that that place was shaken. The foundations of the prison were shaken. The doors were all opened. And everyone that was locked up in bands and stocks or whatever, they were all set free and loosed from it all. Glory to God. That tells me that your song in the night does not only edify you and help you, but everybody around you is going to get help too. Those that are around you are going to receive strength. They're going to get set free. They're going to be lifted up in spite of it, in spite of what you are going through and you are suffering. You have to remember the world is watching us as believers. They're watching what we do. And if you get bitter and angry and you have a bad attitude about things that are going on in your life, the world is watching you. They're observing not just your actions, but your reactions to the things that you are going through. They're watching you, and it's important that what they see in you and me is the joy of the Lord in spite of our circumstance. That they see a praise unto God in spite of difficulty, a song in your night hour, in your midnight hour. Amen. There's power and there's ministry, opportunity. God gives you a ministry opportunity whenever by his grace you overcome your midnight with a song. And everybody around you hears it. Everyone around you. And all of those in the prison heard them. I don't think too many singers were in the prison, in that prison. This was a strange occurrence at the midnight hour. And they knew what those guys were going through. They understood the suffering, and somehow they understood this is God. And the place was shaken, and they were all loosened from their bands. The keeper of the prison, the jailer, wakes up. And he knows that he's under threat of his own life if all of those people, those prisoners, are not kept safe. And so he just draws a sword. He's going to kill himself. Get this over with, because I'm going to die a horrible, gruesome death at the hand of the Romans. So let's get this over with. And he draws the sword, and then he hears a voice from the deep part of that prison. Do yourself no harm. Do yourself no harm. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I tell you, the song at the right time, the right song, in the right circumstance, can really make a difference. It can be powerful. It can really be a mighty powerful thing that gets the attention of the hearts of those that need help from the Lord. And this jailer, he wouldn't, no doubt he would not have ever listened or responded at all to this message, but now he's listening. Now he's paying attention, and it's remarkable what happens. It says They said, you just need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. He and all of his whole family was affected. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Glory to God. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants saying, let those men go. It was as if God just arranged it for them to be in that prison that night. Because not even knowing what had happened, the magistrates sent the order, let those men, just set them free. And they were already free. They were at the jailer's house, well fed, taken care of, and the whole household had been saved and baptized, and God arranged it all for the benefit of that jailer's household. Praise God. And no doubt many others that were in that jail. So what about it? What about the power of a song? Now, I've heard songs before that were so beautifully sung, even worldly songs, so beautifully sung that they affect your emotions. Your emotions can be affected. This is much deeper than that. This isn't a song that's beautiful that just affects your emotions. It goes much deeper than that. It is a new song. It's a fresh song. It's a song that's from God. A song that's from the Lord. Johnny Erickson said that when she could hardly get her breath, she would sing I don't remember exactly the words of the song, but it's some praise song that talks about every breath I breathe, with every breath I breathe, I will give you praise. She's struggling to breathe, and she gives praise to the Lord through her trouble and through her suffering and her sorrow. Praise God. I was inspired by that, and I hope that you are tonight to understand that God can give to you in the middle of your difficult time a song that's from God. A song, even praise unto our God. A song that glorifies God, but not only that, that it touches all that are around you, and many are affected by the fact that you have received something wonderful from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. At the midnight hour, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and all the prisoners heard them. Praise the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. I don't know what you're up against, what you're going through. I know that there's all kinds of sicknesses, problems, trials. Ask the Lord to give you a song, a new song, a fresh song. That means for your predicament, for your circumstance. Ask the Lord, Lord, give to me a song that glorifies God and brings me out of this dark situation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you care about your people. You care about us, Lord, and you give to us songs of praise that glorify God. And I pray, Lord, that those that are right here in this service tonight that struggling, going through trials and many questions, Lord, would you just minister help to them, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord.